is the last sermon on putting on. Now, we're going to continue on for another verse or two or three, but in Colossians 3, but as far as the things to put on. Tonight is the culmination of that, and I want to make sure that you got the things. You know, when we do object lessons, it's to kind of drive home a point and to help our memories. You know, I remember Warren Wiersbe, he wrote a commentary on the Bible. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but one of my heroes of the faith. I remember him saying, I had a couple classes to him in seminary. He said, you know, your mind is not a debating chamber, but your mind is a picture gallery. So basically, when we have a picture in our mind about even the points of Scripture, it helps us to apply it. I'm a firm believer that messages are not preached just for the sake of more knowledge. You know, more knowledge and more knowledge. Nothing wrong with knowledge, but if we don't apply it every once in a while, we kind of got a problem. We'll be stagnant. Our brain will get big, but our lifestyle will not straighten up. So I think it's important that we remember the things that we've been looking at. And tonight, I'm going to ask you. Now, you're on your honor, okay? You're on your honor. I want you to keep track on how many. No one's going to say anything. I'm going to hold up objects here, and you're going to keep track. You know, if you're like me, I'd probably have my hand like this, okay, like this, just to make sure. How many of these do you remember what the object stands for? Okay? All right, everybody ready for that? If you're ready, say, ready, preacher. All right. Now, these aren't necessarily going to be in order, okay? So I'm gonna trip you up a little bit tonight, okay? How about, and don't say it out loud, just see if you know it. Be on your honor. Now, we're supposed to put on what? Shh. We're supposed to put on what? I knew somebody would say something. Okay. Don't say it. Okay. Now, does everybody know whether you got it or not? Okay, Larry, what is it? Forbearance. We're supposed to put up with one another, okay? Put up with one another. Remember, there's two of them that said one another, so it almost seemed like it implied among fellow Christians. And believe me, we Christians got to put up with each other. All right. Now, the other one, how about this one? Don't say it out loud. Just see if you know it or not. Can you see what that is? If you need me to move a little closer, I'll move a little closer. Can everybody see what that is? Okay, so if you got that, you got another point. You're keeping track of it, right? Now, who would like to tell me what we're supposed to put on that this represents? Gwen? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's like with one another. You know, God forgives us, so when someone does us wrong, we're supposed to use the eraser of forgiveness and say, oh, okay. Now, remember, forgiveness is not easy. But it's a decision, in my opinion, followed by a process. So you make the decision, I'm going to forgive, but then you might need to pray about it for a long time. I've had cases where I've really had to pray for a long time, and then it really seems like forgiveness happened. But I made the decision that I was going to forgive. All right, so, all right, how about, remember, don't say it out loud. What about this little guy? He has a name. And there's a quality associated with him. Okay. All right. Who would like to answer this? Who is this guy? Amy? Meek Mike. Now remember, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is kind of like a nature, kind of mild-mannered, you know, not a bully, not overbearing, not a know-it-all. So we're supposed to put that on. So far, forbearance, put up with one another. The eraser, make sure that we forgive one another. This is meekness. We're supposed to have that nature, that mild-mannered nature as a Christian. We're supposed to put that on every day. All right, how about this one? Uh-oh. I think there's a lot of groans and moans out there like, oh, what is that one? All right, can anyone tell me what this is? Gwen, you seem to be the star because I think everybody else is moaning and groaning and shaking their heads. Okay, long-suffering. Remember what long-suffering means? It means long-tempered. You know, we know people that are short-tempered. They just fly off the handle really quick get real animated and their face turns red. They're like, argh! But we're supposed to be long-suffering to one another. In other words, set the timer long, okay? Set the timer long. All right, let's see. Here's another little feller. How about this guy? Okay, first of all, do you think if you can get it, you got a point. Okay, you got a point. Okay, everybody had time to think about it? Okay, Connie, what's this guy's name? Okay, humility, that's right. How big are we in our own eyes? And we're supposed to esteem everyone else as better than ourselves. So ourselves small, other people big. And when we go around, we should have that attitude of humility. All right. I'm afraid to ask how many points you got because there's an awful lot of out there. All right, here we go. Let's see. How about this one? Anybody, take for a moment and think about it. Give yourself a point if you know what this stands for. Do you know what this one stands for? Okay, Larry?
Kindness.
Remember, kindness is more than just a smile, but it starts with a smile. It extends to our fingers and helping people and our feet and going out of the way to show people kindness. You really don't know how much of an impact. You don't know what kind of day the person that you encounter is having. Because I've had those kind of days. And this sometimes the simplest of thing that someone does is like, oh, it just kind of perks you up a little bit. Kindness. So we're supposed to put on kindness every day. All right. How about this one? Okay, can you give yourself a point if you remember what this is for? Okay, Cheryl? Yep. It says bows of mercies, which we said it's kind of like compassion. You know, we'd say from our heart. You know, when we look at people, we're supposed to have compassion for them or feel for them. Remember, the Bible said several places that Jesus had compassion upon the people. And if we go through life and don't have, I know, it's easy to say, well, look at that person, look at that, and look at how they look, and look at what they're doing, and look at what they stand. But really, we ought to make sure that we also put on the glasses of compassion and attempt to see them as Jesus saw them, through the glasses of compassion. Now, I'm going to ask you, how many of you got all of them right? Okay. Okay, Gwen got all of them right. How many of you missed one? Okay, Amy and Linda and Diana. How many missed two? Well, Larry, this is how many missed two. How many missed two? Okay, Ken and Connie. All right, I'm not going to go any lower, but that's all right. That's all right. If you remembered one of them, that's good, okay? Tonight, Bobby Brown, it's a good thing she's not here. I said something about an umbrella one time. Remember, I braced the umbrella up. I think it was a Sunday morning. Every time she would like cringe. I mean, almost jump out of her seat. So it's a good thing she's not here tonight. What we're going to be talking about is basically the umbrella over all of those qualities. The umbrella over all of those qualities. Now, sometimes we say that you've heard it put this way, maybe like an umbrella organization. You know, it's like here's a big company and they got all these little companies under. In other words, this is the overarching thing. We'd say the umbrella. I would say the umbrella of the Christian life in general through the Bible is to bring glory to God. That's the umbrella over everything. But over these qualities that we are supposed to put on every day is this umbrella. Now, can you see what's on the umbrella? This is a custom umbrella. I'm sure this umbrella is worth a lot of money. Amy put a lot of work into this, and I'm sure that this umbrella is worth a lot of money. Can you see the little tiny hearts? Now, the overarching principle, okay, the umbrella over all of these things is love. Love, okay? Love. Now, granted, it's similar to the idea of having glasses of compassion when you look at other people. But what holds on? Why do I even want to do these things? why am I concerned about doing these things, and what would motivate me to keep doing these things? That's why it's called the umbrella, I believe, the umbrella of charity or love, okay? Now, we're going to look at that tonight. That's the last thing that we're supposed to put on, but we're going to talk about it a little bit and see what the Bible says. We're going to read Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read all of the things to put on, 12, 13, and 14, okay? 12, 13, and 14 of Colossians chapter 3. It says, put on therefore. Remember, if you see a therefore, you got to look at what it's there for, okay? It's therefore, when you look back, and basically the overall idea is we're not the same people that we were before we were saved. We're supposed to be different, okay? Therefore, since we are different, put on these things as the elect of God. Now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you truly trusted Jesus as your Savior, you are the elect of God. That's the elect of God according to the foreknowledge of God. That does not do away with your free will because you made the decision to trust Jesus. That does not exclude certain people from being saved. So, well, you can't be saved because you're not the elect of God. No, you can be saved. If you choose not to be saved, you'll not be the elect of God. But if you choose to be saved, you are the elect of God. And God knows all about it because of his foreknowledge. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God is what the Bible says. So it says, therefore, since you're not what you used to be, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved. We're special to the Lord. We're holy. We're set apart to the Lord. You know, the Bible says we're a peculiar people, and some are more peculiar than others. But we are a peculiar people. It says, holy and beloved. Do you know how specially you are loved by God? Now, I understand that sometimes, because of all the difficulties we have in life, and through what we're going through as trials, we may forget how much God loves us. But God loves us so much. I mean, just think about your love for your children. And then put it in perfect form, because God is perfect, and we are God's children, how much he loves us. So, we're not the same. We're the elect of God. We're set apart for God. We're specially loved by God. So put on these things. And here it is. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Do ye, that is. Verse 14, this is where we are. And above all these things, above all these things. That's one reason I have an umbrella, because you'd be kind of goofy if it was pouring the rain down and you had it under your feet. Wouldn't you? You'd say, that's kind of goofy, because it was kind of a crazy day today. It kind of rained on and off about all day where I was, whether here in town or coming out of Doddridge County, it rained. And then, you know, I don't think there was any rain in the forecast all day anywhere we were. I mean, if you look at the forecast we have on our phone, but you'd be kind of goofy. It's pouring the rain down and you're standing on your umbrella. It's like, okay. No. Above all these things, the umbrella over all of these qualities, the one that's most important to do, put on charity or love. You know, as I look at this, put on love, and I'll read the rest of that verse and we'll talk about it, which is the bond of perfectness. The bond of perfectness. First of all, this charity. Put on love, title of the lesson or sermon tonight. Charity is the agape love. That's what that word is, agape love. That's the highest kind of love. That's the kind of love that is self-sacrificial. Now, we don't even like that word. Sacrifice? I'm not going to sacrifice for God. I'm not going to sacrifice for the church. I'm not going to sacrifice for anybody. But this tells us that we're supposed to have that attitude toward all the people. And as that umbrella, this agape love, this self-sacrificial type of love, it's above it all. It speaks of love for God, I believe. I mean, why do we want to put this stuff on? Because we love God. And we're willing to sacrifice and do whatever. You know, some days we may get up and somebody might have ticked us off a little bit. Someone might have just made us a little bit mad. And the human side says, But we get up and say, Lord, I love you so much. You are my heavenly Father. And because I love you so much, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on these qualities today. Now, it may not be easy, may not be popular, but because I love God so much. But also, it speaks of our love for one another. You know, if we have that real deep, this is the deep love type here. It's not like, oh, I just love you, you know. The world's got that flippant love down pat, it seems like. But we're not talking about flippant love here. We're talking about love that is willing to sacrifice for other people. So because we love God so much and because we love people so much, we're going to put that stuff on. Above all of those, the one most important over all of it, the overarching principle is love. Second, so first of all, that charity is agape love. Second, charity or love is the most important element or quality to put on. It is the most important quality to put on. It says, and above all these things. And that's all the things that we went through in our review, right? Those things, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, and forgiveness. Above all those, all the other things that we are told to put on, love is above them all. Now, you know, when I make that statement, love is above them all, I can't help but think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Can anyone tell me what that's called? No, you said that wrong, Ken. It's the love chapter. You said it's the love chapter. No, it's a love chapter. Okay. Okay, that's good. That's good. You got it right the second time. All right, 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You can keep your finger here if you like. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is called the love chapter. And as we look at those verses, remember, charity or love is the most important element or quality to put on. But notice, in light of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice what it says in verses 1 to 3. Okay, verses 1 to 3. Are you there? All right, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Man, if I can get up here and I can just preach and I can just teach and everybody's going, wow. I mean, I can preach and teach like the greatest preacher that ever lived and like angels, and I can just clearly make the point. Everyone's just in awe. You'd say that's pretty desirable, right? I might win a presidential debate if I was that good, right? But here it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and very eloquent, it says, and have not charity. What the big deal is it? I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's like, you can't understand. I mean, what is a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal actually saying? Oh, might sound all right, ding, 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 you know. But people aren't picking up a whole lot, are they? People's not getting a whole lot from it. It's not accomplishing a whole lot. And if I'm the greatest speaker in the world, but don't have love, and it says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, okay, I got the power. Now, I don't think the gift of prophecy really is a current gift today. But foretelling was part of that. Forthtelling was the other. Some people say forthtelling is still a present gift because we foretell the truth. And that is true. But the part of foretelling the future. You know, if I could sit here and say, okay, you know, in 1 hour, Connie, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a bellyache. And you know what, Larry? You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go to Burger King and get her a milkshake. And I'm predicting all that, okay? Because I'm a prophet. Now, man, people would be amazed. They'd say, whoa. And I'd say, you know what? You know who's going to win the election? And you know what the percentage is going to be? And you know what states are going to win? And you're like, whoa, if it really happened. You'd say, whoa, listen to that. You'd be pretty impressed, wouldn't you? and understand all mysteries. You know, I'm just up here and you say, preacher, what's the meaning of life? Well, let me tell you. You say, well, how in the world do the clouds drop rain? Just tell us. And how in the world does a rainbow really happen? And where does snow come from? I mean, I'm up here just waxing eloquent. I'm just telling you because I understand all mysteries. I can prophesy. I understand all mysteries. I have all knowledge. Whoa. My IQ is so high, it will not register on the scale. And people are saying, whoa, wow, that guy there. And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. I mean, I have so much faith that I can say, you know, I believe this is going to happen. And boom, it happens. Man, I'd have a following like nobody's business, right? And people would be amazed and they'd say, wow, if I could just be like him. I mean, that's pretty impressive stuff, right? And I'm telling you, I'm not like this at all. But I'm just saying, if I had all that, but notice it says, I can do all that stuff and have not charity. I am nothing. Wow. Wow. I'd say charity is the most important quality to have. And then here, I mean, not only am I brilliant, not only am I a great speaker, it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, not only, I'm generous. I mean, I'm just saying, okay, feed all the poor. Use my money. It's all right. If it runs low, feed everybody. And they're like, wow, what a philanthropist. Aren't you impressed with that word? That I even knew that word. What a philanthropist he is. And though I give my body to be burned, I'll stand up for anything. You know, here I am. I'm willing to die for a worthy cause. And they say, that's one guy there. But notice it says, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. Wow. And then you go to verse 13. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But what? The greatest of these is charity, or this agape love. You say, with all of the qualities we're supposed to put on, the most important one, the overarching one, as it puts it in that verse, and above all these things, right? Let me get back to my passage. I told you to keep your finger there, but I didn't keep my finger there. Above all these things, and let me say again, and above all these things, the most important quality to put on is charity or love. Third point. Number one, charity is agape love, the self-sacrificial type of love. Second, charity or love is the most important element or quality to put on. And third, charity or love keeps the other stuff we are to put on in place and makes the stuff we put on complete or full. That's kind of a long point, isn't it? Let's try it again. Charity or love keeps the other stuff we are to put on, like all these other qualities, in place. Keeps those other qualities in place. It makes the stuff we put on complete or full. It says there, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond. I didn't want to have too many analogies. I almost brought out a tube of super glue. I said, okay, umbrella, super glue. So I didn't want to put too many. But really, it's like super glue that holds all the other qualities together. It's the bond. Y'all with me? Y'all, did I lose you? Because you just kind of, some of you look at me kind of mean now. It's the bond. It's the bond that holds it all together. And it makes it complete. Ephesians 6:14. Remember the talking about the armor of God. It says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Remember the picture of the armor? And if you've heard a description of the armor, the belt of truth is what holds everything together. The armor in place, the belt that the soldier, the Roman soldier wears. Can I tell you, in essence, the belt that holds all those qualities together is love. Keeps them all in place. Keeps everything in perspective. And it says, not only does it say, which is the bond, but it says, of perfectness or completion. or fullness. Fullness. Now, if you kind of in your brain, you're still a little, okay, so let me tell you. Charity, point number one, charity is the agape type of love, self-sacrificial love. Second, charity or love is the most important quality to put on. Like the umbrella above all these things, put on love. It's the most important quality. And thirdly, it's what keeps all the other qualities in place. It's the bond, it says, of perfectness or completeness. It's what keeps it together. It's what makes it full, makes it rich. Now, let me explain that for a little bit. What if you, it seems to me that what he's really saying here is, if we put on the other qualities and do it simply because we're supposed to, it's going to be hollow. It's just going to be mechanical. I mean, you can come to church. Let me give you another for instance, okay? You can come to church mechanically for every service. But if your heart's not in it, and you're not coming for the right reasons, and you're not coming to worship God, and you're not coming to draw closer to God, it's simply an exercise in being a robot. Because you're just doing it because you're supposed to do it. But you see, when you do and put on these qualities, and you say, well, I'm supposed to. Preacher said I'm supposed to. You know, we have this crazy monkey called Bubba in the front row of the church, and he went through all these qualities, and we're supposed to put, so guess what? I'm going to get up and say, God, I'll put on these qualities today. Help me to put these qualities on. And you're going to go through the day, and you're going to be little more than a puppet or a robot to God and to other people. It's called, well, I'm supposed to forbearance. I'm supposed to forbear with you. I'm supposed to put up with you. I'm supposed to suffer long, set the timer long. I'm supposed to show you kindness. And it's all just going to be an act. But see, that's why the agape love is called the bond of perfectness, the bond of perfection, the bond of completeness. Not only is it the most important, it's what gives meaning to these things. Why do you show forbearance? Because you love God and you love people. Why do you show kindness? Because you love God and you love people. Why in the world? Why in the world do you show humility or meekness or forgiveness or long-suffering or, again, kindness or any of those things or even look through glasses of why? Because we love God and we love people. You know, that is, after all, commandment number one and commandment number two. Jesus was asked that. He said, they've tried to trip him up, but what's Jesus never got tripped up. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, number one, love the Lord your God with all your, this is not a direct quote, but I'm paraphrasing, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So right there, commandment number one, commandment number two. In this passage, it's related as overarching, the most important umbrella of all these qualities, put on love, and it's the bond that holds it all together and makes it all worthwhile and does not allow it to be hollow because you mean it. Does that make sense? Without love, again, the other qualities are simply mechanical. You're nothing more but a robot. Take me to your leader. You know, you're just going around saying, well, I'm supposed to do this, so I will do this. But when you say, I really love God, and that's why I'm doing it. It's hard sometimes to put on these things, but I'm going to do it. And because I love people, I'm going to do it. So it keeps it from being mechanical. You don't do it just because you have to. Put on love. Put on love. Charity, the agape type of love. Second, charity or love is the most important element, quality to put on. It's like the umbrella over all of it. And it's the bond that keeps everything in place. It puts perspective on everything. It's why ultimately, we do it. Two questions, and I'm done, I believe. I better not promise that. Two questions, and I think I'm done. How's that? Question number one, how much love, the self-sacrificial type of love, do you have for God? How much agape, self-sacrificial love do you have for God? You know, a lot of people, I love God. I love God, they'll tell you. I really love God. He's done so much for me. And then God hollers down, okay, you love me so much, why don't you do this for me? Oh, God, like I said, I love you so much. Now, that could be as simply as reading our Bible and praying as we should and giving to the church as we should and telling our neighbors about Jesus as we should. Right? Coming to church as we should. Could be things like that. Or it could be, hey, I want you to start a new ministry for God. I love you, God. Like I said, I love you. Mm-hmm. And that may take sacrifice. It may sacrifice our time, sacrifice our effort, our energy, even our resources and all that. Or he might say, hey, you, I want you as a child of mine. You say you love me. I want you to be a missionary to lands way across the seas. Boy, I sure love you, God. But, you know, really, once we become a child of God, we've already handed over the title. You know how you sign a title over to someone in a car? You know, I've done that before. You know, you sign it over here. It becomes their car, right? And you go to the DMV and that your name goes on the title because it's your. Really, when we trusted Jesus, we signed over the title of our lives to God. So we can say we love God all we want to, but until we realize we really, really, really belong to him, and whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. That's real love. That's self-sacrificial type of love toward God. So how much of that type of love do you really have for God? The sacrificial type of love. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Now, there's a lot of people that say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and they mean it, and they do it, and they say, I love God, and it goes, but I'm saying, don't be the kind of person that puts it in words but doesn't follow through with what God may tell you to do. Question number two, how much love, this self-sacrificial agape type of love, do you have for other people? You know, we're pretty, can I just say a general statement? We're pretty selfish people, typically. I mean, we all are. I mean, I am. You are. Pretty much we're, you know, because we want what we want, when we want it. But really, the thing that's above all in these qualities that we're supposed to put on is not only agape love for God, self-sacrificial love for God, but for other people. So how are you at showing and actually having that self-sacrificial love for the people around you? They need someone to love them that way. The world, the lost world, needs someone like us to love them in a sacrificial type of way. Maybe you're a bit low on love, and that is making the compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, and forgiving tough. Maybe you're a little bit low on that. But again, that's the overarching, most important principle. The quality, that is, to have is love, and it holds them all together. So maybe, you just need to go before God and say, God, I need more of that agape love for you. Forgive me when I don't have as much of that love for you as I should. Forgive me when I don't have as much of that love as I should for the people around me. Not only for you, but not even for the people around me. So if God has spoken to your heart that way, would you bow your head right now anyway? Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. If God has kind of pricked your heart, God has kind of knocked on your heart's door a little bit tonight and said, you know what? You really do need to have more of that agape love for me, God may be saying. The kind that says, I'm willing to sacrifice and do whatever you want me to do, God. Or maybe you need more of that agape love for the people around you, that self-sacrificial type of love for people around you. We take just a moment and kind of think about where you are in that area and let God and his Holy Spirit speak to you a little bit. Maybe say, hey, the Holy Spirit may say, you know what, you could have more of that agape love for me and for others. And if God's telling you that, just take a moment and say, God, give me more love for you and more love for other people. conceivably there could be someone here who's lost, not sure you're saved, or someone listening in by way of live stream. Can I tell you that God loves you so much? I mean, loves you so much. He sacrificed his son, Jesus, on the cross to pay for your sins. And you can have a relationship with God through Jesus in this life and throughout all eternity in a place called heaven if you'll simply go before God right now in faith and trust from your heart and tell God, God, I'm a sinner. I failed you. I've done things against you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross as your son to pay for my sin debt and then resurrected back to life. I commit my heart and life. I confess Jesus as my Savior. I will serve you for the rest of my life. If you'd mean that from your heart, call out to God right now. He'll save you. He'll save you. And you will have eternal life with him in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these qualities that we're supposed to put on. We thank you for Colossians chapter 3. Lord, we're not completely done with Colossians chapter 3, but we are with the qualities that we're supposed to put on that are listed there. Tonight, Lord, I ask that you'll give us more love, charity for the people around us and for you, God. Just help us, Lord. I realize I need to love you more. I realize I need to love people more. Lord, forgive me for that. Just help me, Lord, to have that agape love, again, for you and for people. That quality that's the most important quality that we're supposed to put on every day. And Lord, that glue that holds all of the other qualities together. In other words, gives us purpose in doing it rather than just being mechanical about it. But put it on because we do love you and do love people. Lord, we just thank you for your Bible. We thank you that we don't have to preach and teach our opinion. But Lord, we can preach and teach your word, which is powerful. In Jesus' name we pray.